Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew 6:6. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Notice Jesus didn't say in verse 6, "But if you pray, go into your room." He didn't say "if you pray," did he? No, he said, "But when you pray." When you pray. Do we pray? Do you pray? A lot of folks pray little prayers on the run, little emergency prayers, little pull out the spare tire prayers when you're in a crisis. That's how a lot of folks pray. But notice what Jesus says. He says, "But when you pray," because you do pray. If God is your Father, you need to be a prayer. I said you need to be a prayer. A lot of folks are not prayers, and they're Christians, but they're not prayers. But every Christian should be a prayer. We should all be prayers. He says, "When you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." You know, there's a time to just draw back and get away from everyone and close the doors around you and pray. Just get away from everybody. Thank God for corporate prayer, or, you know, like we will come before service and pray together. And we see that in the scriptures, how that people lifted their voice with one accord and prayed. But you need to have a secret place. It's a place where just you and God get together. And you get there regularly. Now that you can, you need to. And you should most definitely want to. Prayer should be an exciting thing to you. If it's not, it's just because you're not praying enough. But the more you pray, the more you're going to want to pray. The more you pray, the more you're going to get excited about praying. So get into your secret place and pray. Verse 7, he says, "But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." And it's not the quantity of words, it's the quality of your prayer time, the quality of your communication with God. It's not about just repeating a bunch of things. God's not looking for us to just give him lip service and just speak things out of memorization. He wants us to commune with him, speak to him from our hearts. Verse 8, "Therefore, do not be like them." Do not be like heathen that are just out there quoting a bunch of things. "For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Isn't that powerful? Before you even ask God, before even we go before the Lord in prayer, we need to stop and remember those words right there. "Now, my Father already knows this. He already knows what I have need of." Before you even ask him for it. Now, you still need to. Now, notice, just because the Father knows, and we know that he knows, that doesn't mean we don't ask. Remember, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You need to ask. It's very important to ask. It's an act of humility. We need to come before him, and we need to ask God. We don't want to just have the idea, well, God knows, and if he wants to do it, whatever he wants to do, he can do. That's not what Jesus said. He said, yeah, your Father knows, but you still need to ask. But when you do ask, know that your Father already knows. In other words, don't go in there thinking you're going to give him a big education about what you're going through and what you need. Because he already knows what you have need of. Right? He's already aware of it. That's exciting. Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now we're looking at this prayer that, again, has been called the Lord's Prayer here, starting in verse 9. We're going through it verse by verse. And I recognize that there were, that I can see in this prayer, seven pillars of our life. And they are, number one, you'll see he talks about worship. Number two, our authority. Number three, our obedience. Number four, our needs being met. Our victory over sin. And our submission to him. It's these seven pillars we see here in this prayer. So let's, again, we're going to review the first couple verses. Verses 9 and 10, which is what we covered last time. And then we'll endeavor to finish up the rest today. So he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Again, the word hallowed means holy, sacred, sanctified. So when we're praying, we're coming to the Father, and we should be asking him to help us to honor his name. Honor his name. That his name would be treated as holy. God's people need to treat his name as holy. Jesus' name is a name that is above every other name. Holy, set apart, high, awesome, to be highly esteemed and honored. And that's when his name is going to work for you. In the world, for a lot of people, his name is just a curse word. Jesus this, Jesus that. There's no honor, there's no respect, it is not holy. And therefore, it has absolutely no power in their life. And we've got to watch about his name just becoming religious to us. We need to lift up his name, and it's something to ask God our Father to help us to do. Help us, Father. Help us to honor the name of Jesus, to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus, because we know all authority is in that name. And then he says, "Your kingdom come." And again, the word kingdom there means royal power, dominion, rule, the right or authority to rule over a kingdom, the royal power and dignity conferred on Christians in the Messiah's kingdom, a territory subject to the rule of a king. So we're to ask, "Your kingdom come, your royal power, your dominion, your authority come." And thank God, his kingdom, his authority, his power has come to us. We have heard of Jesus. We have believed on his name. We have confessed him as our Lord, as our Savior, as our King. And we have received his name, his life, his authority into our life. His kingdom has come to us. We have his kingdom. Praise God forever. His authority has been given to us. It's been placed on the inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the power of God. And he's been given to the church. He's been given to those who believe in his name. So we have that authority. We have this kingdom on the inside of us. But as we saw, that word come, your kingdom come, in the original language also means to appear, arise, come forth, show itself, find place or influence, be established, be known. So his kingdom has come to us. But now his kingdom needs to come forth through us. His kingdom needs to arise, and what's been placed on the inside of us is to be shown, is to come forth so it can be plainly seen. The world needs to see the power and the authority of the King, of the King of Kings. They need to see that authority. They need to see that power. Is the kingdom of God, is the authority of God, is the royal rule of God, is his dominion, is his power coming forth from your life? Is it coming forth from your life? Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, do you declare his name? Do you praise him? Do you worship him? Do you speak in tongues? A heavenly language? In other words, a language that's not earthly, that's not of this world. You didn't learn it from your mother and your father. You didn't learn it at school. But it comes from God. It comes from his kingdom being on the inside of you. It's the language of the kingdom of God. And you have it on the inside of you. And when you're speaking in tongues, it's coming. The kingdom is coming forth. The kingdom is showing forth to the world that it's here. That's why over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about tongues, speaking in tongues, being used as a sign, not to the believer, but to the unbeliever. And we need to learn to use speaking in tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. It's not something that we're just to hide. It is something that needs to be explained to the uninformed and the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that. It's to be explained, but it isn't to be hidden. People have taken that as, you know, you read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about, you know, speaking in tongues in the church and doing things decently in order. And people have taken that as speaking in tongues is supposed to be hidden. We're not supposed to do that in front of people, especially in front of unbelievers. It's not what it says. We need to explain it and demonstrate it. The kingdom is to come forth. How many people know that's a good prayer that we need to be praying? Lord, that your kingdom would come forth from my life, that your people would express you, that they would yield to this authority and this power that's been given to them. Have you ever taken authority over the devil? Have you ever commanded the devil, get your hands off this, come out, go in the name of Jesus? And he had to listen to you, and he listened to you. That's the kingdom of God coming forth. That's the authority of God in demonstration, being made manifest. So you see, the kingdom is coming forth. It is coming forth as we are yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, as we are taking that authority that the Lord has given to us, as we're laying hands on the sick. How many people have ever done that? You've ever obeyed Mark chapter 16 and laid hands on the sick, knowing that they'll recover? Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. That's his authority. That's his kingdom coming forth from your life. Sometimes there's a tangible power that can be experienced through the laying on of hands. You can feel that power going out of you, and it's because the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And this is something all believers are to be walking in. We're to be speaking in tongues. How many people ever, we're supposed to be laying hands on the sick. How many people ever received divine healing for yourself? It's the kingdom of God. I said it's the kingdom of God. We need to learn to yield to what's on the inside of us. We need to cooperate with this kingdom, with the laws, the spiritual laws of this kingdom. We have so much authority and so much power. The Bible says over in Romans 14, is it? 14:7. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Notice that. Kingdom of God is righteousness. Is anybody walking in the righteousness of God? You're doing things right now. You used to do it all wrong. You lived contrary to God. You thought contrary to God. But now your mind's being turned around and you're living righteous lives. It's the kingdom of God coming forth. We're no longer old sinners. We're not out here messing in sin. We're righteous. We're righteous. We live for righteousness. When we see unrighteousness in our lives, we repent of it. We can't stand that. We won't tolerate that of ourselves. Because we are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. It's because the kingdom of God is on the inside of us. His kingdom has come, and now it's coming forth in our living for righteousness. And peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what kind of trials and tests, you still maintain this peace and this joy that is not of this world. You got peace and joy no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how you've been treated, no matter how things look. You don't get anxious, you don't panic, but you have peace and you have joy. It's the kingdom of God. I said it's the kingdom of God. It needs to be coming forth. Father, help me. Let your kingdom come forth today. Let me walk in righteousness. Let me walk in peace. Let me walk in joy. I think I walk in divine health. Help me to lay hands on others and help other people get healed. I thank you for this heavenly language I have. I have the language of the kingdom of God. Help me to speak in tongues more often, Lord. Help me to build myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, not to be slack concerning these things, but to stir up this gift of God that's on the inside of me. That's what he's talking about here. See, there's a lot here in these words that Jesus spoke. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come forth. Verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that has been God's will from the very beginning, that his will would be being done on earth just like it is in heaven. He wants us to have days of heaven right here on the earth. We saw that over in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and in verse 21. Even in the Old Testament, we see that the Lord said through Moses that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Actually, better translation, like the days of heaven upon the earth. Days of heaven upon the earth. Glory be to God. Well, the kingdom of God's here. It's in you. And if that kingdom comes forth, heaven's coming forth right here on the earth, and we can be living life out of the kingdom, not living life in the flesh, but living life out of the kingdom, out of this righteousness, joy, and peace that's in the Holy Spirit. You and I can live now this amazing life, days of heaven on earth. It just feels like hell on earth. Well, let's get that turned around. Right? We hear that a lot, right? People believe, can you have hell on earth? Oh, people believe that. It's amazing. You know, unbelievers are such good disciples. Right? And unfortunately, a lot of unbelievers are a lot better disciples to their king than Christians are to their king. Because you sit and you tell Christian, days of heaven on the earth, sure doesn't feel like it. Sure doesn't feel that way to me. But you go out in the world, man, they'll proclaim it everywhere. I don't know how many times I heard that grump. It's hell on earth. Man, it's just hell on earth. Hell on earth. See, they're proclaiming their king, their kingdom. It's hell on earth. Our kingdom has come. We're all going to hell, and his kingdom has come here on earth. But not you and I. You and I are in a different kingdom. And we should be more bold than them. We should be walking around going, feels like days of heaven on earth for me. Well, Pastor, I don't want to make them feel bad. They already do feel bad. They just said it's like hell on earth. It's only up from here. Speak up. Speak up. Tell them, well, you could have days of heaven on earth. You could say something like, used to be like hell on earth for me too. But it isn't that way anymore. I've found out about the kingdom of God. I'm in a different kingdom now. Now it's like days of heaven on earth. Praise God forever. Days of heaven on earth. Your will be done. That's our obedience. That's our obedience. Hallowed be your name. That's our worship. Your kingdom come. That's our authority. Your will be done. That's our obedience to him. Now, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. What is this daily bread? Well, it's twofold. Number one, God wants you to be fed spiritually. And he wants you to be fed or taken care of naturally. God cares about your life in this physical world, and he wants to provide you with what you have need of. Again, we just read, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows and he cares. He knows and he cares. Those are two things to hang on to in life. Always remember those two things. The Father knows and he cares. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you have need of, and he cares. And he cares enough to do something about it. In fact, he has done something about it through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for us to be able to receive the provision that we need for every area of our life, both spiritually and naturally. But I want to focus in on the spiritual because most folks are pretty well versed in natural needs. Most folks know what they have need of naturally. Well, I need more money, I need more this, I need that, I need... And people know, I don't have to say and go through what people need in the natural. But do we really know what we need spiritually? Do we really know what feeds us spiritually? And I got news for you. What you're eating spiritually, how you eat spiritually, is more important than how well you eat naturally. Natural food is important, but spiritual food is even more important. Because out of the spirit flows the issues of life. So what's going on the inside of you is going to determine what's going to take place in your life, the kind of quality of life you're going to live. So we have to take care of the engine. We have to take care of the spirit. We have to make sure the spirit is being fed. And a lot of folks, they don't really know fully what they need, what they have need of spiritually to be sustained in life, to be strong in life, to be able to function correctly in life. They just think it's these natural things they need that are going to help them to function correctly in life. No, there's spiritual things you need. Spiritual things you need. Number one is the Word of God. The Word of God is food for our spirit. Matthew chapter 4, and in verse 4, Matthew 4:4, he says, "But he answered and said," Jesus said, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Notice that. He didn't say man doesn't need bread. He just said man shall not live by bread alone. We need food to eat to sustain our life here on earth, but not that's not all that you need to sustain your life here on earth. If you want to live a long, strong, healthy life, there's something else you need. And it's even more important than natural bread. And it is the Word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need to be hearing from God. We need to be listening for Him. We need to listen for Him when we get in the written word. Be listening for Him in life to speak to us and to direct us, because He'll talk to you. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And we need to be hearing His voice. When He speaks to us, we need to be able to recognize it. Recognize God. That wasn't just my thought. That was God speaking to me. And when we hear from Him and we receive His word, it's food to us. It's food to us. And we need it just like we need natural food, just as much. You chew it, right? You chew it. That's called meditation in the spirit. You meditate, which means you're thinking on it and you're talking about it. You're talking about it to yourself. You love getting around other people that like to hear and like to chew and like to eat, huh? And you like sharing it with them and talking to them about it. And everybody's just chewing. We're just chewing away, man. And we're just talking and we're just sharing scripture with each other. That's what we love to do, because we have a hunger for the Word. We got a spiritual hunger on the inside of us. But, you know, just like in the natural, if you starve yourself long enough, after a while, you don't even feel like eating. You don't even recognize you need any food. If you just starve yourself, you just don't eat long enough, next thing you know, you lose your appetite. I remember the first time I fasted for 3 days. And as the first year I got saved, and I thought, I'm going to fast for 3 days. That first day was terrible. Food was screaming out to me. Everything was talking to me. Every smell, I picked it up a mile away. I mean, I discerned what food was in the air from afar. It's very discerning, very sensitive to it. And it was screaming. And you know, some of your things you eat habitually, you know, I'd go and I'd reach for it and I'd think, oh, I can't do that right now. I'm on a fast. It was like, it was torture. Second day, third day, it just all of a sudden, it was like the appetite was gone. Everything had calmed down and my flesh had just figured it out. We're not eating. My carnal mind, everything just figured out. I just went, we're not eating. Just forget the whole thing. I don't even want to think about it anymore. And it just shut down. It was so nice. And so my spirit was able to be more discerned because now my flesh had gotten so quiet, so quiet. That's really one of the reasons why people do fast, is to get the flesh quiet, get the flesh quiet. And sometimes, you know, to get a breakthrough, sometimes you have to fast more than 45 minutes. Now I've matured spiritually, so now I fast between every meal. That's when I fast. But sometimes you have to fast longer to have a to have a breakthrough. Amen? Sometimes you have to fast a little longer to have a breakthrough. Praise God. But man, I tell you what, when you feed on the Word of God, it has a satisfying effect on you. You can fill your spirit up with God, with His Word, and you're just so satisfied. All of a sudden, you might have had a hunger, a natural appetite before, at least you thought, and now you don't feel that anymore. And I believe a lot of people are overweight, and they just binge a lot because they have a spiritual hunger, and they think it's a natural hunger. And so they're trying to satisfy this craving. And they just finished eating, and they want to eat again. And they just finished eating, and they're craving food again. I can't believe I'm still hungry. I can't believe I feel stuffed, but I'm still hungry. It might not be your stomach that is crying out for food. It might be your spirit. It might be your spirit. So yes, this will help get you in shape physically. If we begin to really put the spirit first and feed our spirit, it'll make dieting a whole lot easier. That's what I'm saying. Because if we're feeding our spirit, satisfying our spirit, then a lot of those cravings are going to go away. So the next time you feel a real craving, just say, man, I crave the Word. Just say, no, it's not sugar. No, it's not calories. It's Christ. It's the Word. Oh, His Word is as sweet to me as the honeycomb. What do you mean? It's like candy to me. It's sweet. The Word is sweet. Hey, there's a sweetness in the Word you need to tap into. Hello, somebody. Let the Word be sweet to you. Now, you might not feel that way right away because, you know, the flesh has been getting what it wants so much, and the Spirit has just been deprived. But you just repent of that and begin to substitute spiritual food, God's Word, for those natural cravings, and watch what it does to you. Watch what it does. Your spiritual cravings will increase, and you'll just get happier and happier. I did that when I first got saved. I remember those things. You know, you fill yourself up with television, and you just fill yourself up with other things. And I just said, concerning television, I came home one night, and I had determined I was going to get in the Word of God. I was going to study the Word. And I was just so excited about the Word. And I'd come home and say, and I come to my apartment. I turn my television on, which that was like you walk in the door and you grab the remote. That was like almost this light remote, same motion. And then, you know, I'm just going to turn on while I make dinner. And then, so then the television's going. And I go over here and I make dinner. And I keep looking out there, you know. Television, making that. Then I go out and I sit in front of the thing to eat my meal, and then next thing you know, the whole night goes by. And I look at the clock and I'm exhausted, and I don't have any more strength left in me for anything else. I said, Lord, forgive me. I can't believe it. I didn't even do it. And you feel lousy about yourself. I didn't do what I really wanted to do. Man, we'll get it right tomorrow. Same thing tomorrow. Same exact thing. Same thing happened the next day. Finally, one day I realized, this TV's got power over me. I looked at it. I said, you got power. And you're not going to control me. And I got up and I pulled the plug out of it. I said, I'm not going to watch you for a week. So the next night I came in from work, grabbed the remote, nothing happened. And I went, oh, yeah. I unplugged it,
and said, I'm not going to watch you for a week. Well, I had a great time that night. And then the next night, and then the next night. And next thing you know, at the end of the week, I didn't want to turn the TV back on. It was like I was delivered from it. I was having so much fun with God. God will fill you up. He will satisfy you. He is sweet. He is fun. He is fulfilling and refreshing. So let's dig in. Turn to somebody and say, dig in. It's time to dig in and not just fill yourself up with all these fleshy things. And we live in a world of all kinds of fleshly things. Not just fleshly, not just physical food, but there's so many things beeping and buzzing and hollering for our attention to fill our eyes and fill our ears and fill our thoughts and fill our hearts. Don't fall for it. Recognize when you're getting filled with too much of these fleshy things and you're depriving your spirit. Repent of it. Make a turn. Change. Change the direction you're going. Do something. Go on a fast. Fast, I fasted the TV. Sometimes you got to fast food. I fasted the radio. Sometimes you got to fast whatever it might be. You need to fast the internet. Fast the telephone. Don't say that. Not the telephone. You'd never have to fast the telephone. You always can carry your iPhone. There's nothing wrong with that. You'd like to hear that, but anyhow. Praise his holy name forever. You getting it? Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Now you know why Job was able to overcome when all hell broke loose on earth in his life. Because he had all hell break loose in his life. The devil came at him with everything he had. But Job overcame. Why did he overcame? He told you right here. He never departed from the commandments of his lips. And he looked upon God's food. He treasured it more than his necessary food. Everybody say, feeding on the word, is my food. I need to eat every day. Listen for God. Meditate. Chew on what he's told me. Yeah, I hope you're chewing right now. Every ear should be doing this. Every ear should be chewing. Every ear should be chewing. Nothing should be running down the ear. It should all be going in. Okay? So that's number one, receiving the word of God, feeding on the word of God. Number two, we're talking about our bread, our daily bread. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Well, that's his food. That's our food. He's our example. So our food is not in just hearing the word of God, but in doing the word of God. We need to be doers of the word of God. We need to be doers of the will of God. Of course, God's word reveals his will. We need to be active about doing God's will. It's very fulfilling and satisfying when we are doing the work of God. When we're working in his harvest field. We're out working at being a witness for him. We're out, again, manifesting his kingdom. Ministering to other people. Reaching out to the lost, sharing the good news with them. That is food. How many of you have ever led somebody to the Lord or ministered to somebody that wasn't saved? I'll try that again. How many people have shared the gospel with other people that weren't saved, shared the good news with them? How did it feel afterwards? I mean, you can get high off of it. It's like you had too much sugar. There's a lot of sugar, a lot of carbs in sharing the gospel with others. I'm talking spiritually. Man, it gets you wired. You start sharing it, and you get into a habit of just sharing it with people, and you just live in a complete sugar rush. Just so fulfilled, so satisfied. It just fills you up and strengthen you. Can you say amen? So we need to get out and serve. Get out there and do the work of God. If you're doing, then you're not starving. If you're doing, you're not starving. You got to be a doer of the word of God. If you're not a doer, you're probably starving. And then number three, we're talking about our spiritual food, the supply, our daily bread, what we need every day. We could see it over here in Numbers chapter 14. In the 8th verse, it says, if the Lord delights in us. Now, this is the children of Israel getting ready to go into the promised land. And there's a lot of folks that don't want to go in. They don't want to have to fight. They don't want to have to go to battle against their enemies. But Joshua stands up and he says, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for because they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Notice the statement. Don't fear the people, for they are our bread. It is our food to go to war for the kingdom of God. Fighting the Lord's battles, using your authority over the devil, it's very satisfying. It will fill you up. It is very fulfilling when you are successfully driving demons back and taking territory for the kingdom of God. Man, it emboldens you. It strengthens you when you put the devil on the run, when you use your authority. We need to wage a good warfare. That's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers of light. He has given us armor, and he has called us to fight. In other words, we can't go through life afraid and always trying to protect our life and love our life and guard our life, and we want everything to go smooth today and we don't want any problems or adversity. You will find that your heart is empty because you're yielding to fear. Fear pushes you back in a corner, pushes you back. But we want to rise up in faith. And we want to go to war. We put on a mind to suffer like a helmet. And we're ready to battle. We're ready to fight. I'm not afraid of adversity. Say that. Say it again. Bring it on. Bring it on. It's my food. Yeah, it's your food. It will sustain you and strengthen you. But the more we love our life and go into retreat and defend and we don't want adversity, the weaker we become spiritually. Do not be afraid of the devil. Do not be afraid of adversity. Do not fear them. The Lord is with you. And their protection has departed from them. Are you with me? Let's go in and take it. We got to be able to speak up and speak out. And it will satisfy you as you take territory for the kingdom of God. As you go against the enemies of the Lord. Knowing they're under my feet. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Demons are likened to snakes. Christians need to be like eagles. Not little chickens. Are you an eagle or a chicken? Huh? An eagle. Not a little chicken. That's what a lot of Christians look like. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just pecking around down here. Pecking around a little chicken. All cooped up. All cooped up in the chicken coop. Too much chicken coop Christianity out there. All cooped up in the chicken coop. No, we're called to be eagles. To fly high above the storms of life. And eagles love eating snakes. Did you know that? They look down, they see a good snake. A chicken goes, eh, 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 chicken. chicken coop. You know, the snake gets in the chicken coop, man, and it's just horrible. Devil gets in there among a bunch of Christians in a church. The whole church splits in three different directions. They looked at me wrong. They didn't treat me right. I'm smarter than them. They took my seat. I'm not going to go to this church anymore. Bunch of chickens. Right? That's not an eagle. An eagle sees a snake and goes, See, the chicken gets afraid of the enemy. But the eagle gets excited. He goes down here. Messing with my brother, huh? Come here. I take you for a little flight. Because in me, there's no fright. So we're just going to go up to a new height. Then I'm going to let you go. Let that snake hit the rock. Go down there and pick him up again. Drop him. I really encourage you to go get my series, Messing with Satan. A lot of good revelation along these lines in there. Messing with Satan. We're not being messed with by the devil. We're going to mess with him. See, we want to have a mentality of an eagle, not a chicken. Swoop down and go after him. Go after him.
Pastor, I prayed for somebody with this problem, and now I'm dealing with the same problem.
Well, of course. Because the devil's trying to put fear in you that if you go out there and try to help people, it's going to backfire on you. But you need to double down on what you did. And go find there two more people with that problem. Hello, somebody. And minister to them. Praise God. Or sometimes it's not even the devil. It's intercession. You're actually taking on what they were experiencing. You're taking that on so that you can be sensitive to them and just minister to them that much more in prayer and intercession. That's always sometimes the case. Hello, somebody. That is sometimes the case. So praise God. The word, the will, and the war. The war. Let me read a couple of translations here for you. The CSB, we're talking about taking territory for the kingdom of God here. The CSB says, Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the land, Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Isn't that good? Again, our enemies are not flesh and blood. We understand that. Our enemies are principalities, powers, demons, evil spirits. The CEB translation. Only don't rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are our prey. Their defense has deserted them. But the Lord is with us, so don't be afraid of them. How many people know the devil's been totally disarmed and defeated? He's got no protection. He's in big trouble. The devil is so insecure. If we'll just go after him, he would run in terror. CJB translation. Just don't rebel against Adonai. And don't be afraid of the people living in the land. We'll eat them up. Their defense has been taken away from them. Don't you love that? We'll eat them up. Glory be to God. Say yummy, yummy, yummy. So claim your daily bread. Claim your daily bread. What's your daily bread? His word. Doing his will and going to war against the kingdom of darkness. Use your authority and spread the kingdom of God out. Verse 12, back here in Matthew chapter 6. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. This deals with the condition of our heart. We've got to guard our heart and make sure no root of bitterness gets in there. The Bible talks about a root of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, getting in a Christian's heart and it springing up and defiling them and causing all kinds of trouble among God's people. We got to watch out for that. We got to guard our heart from unforgiveness. We got to be quick to forgive. Be good at forgiveness. I said, be good at forgiveness. Even with the guy that cuts you off on the road. Be quick to forgive, because you never know. Everything has the potential of being a seed that could take root in your life. That's why you can't tolerate anything that's not right, even a little seed form of it. You can't tolerate it. We got to repent of it. We got to reject it immediately. So I'll just say, I forgive them. You watch some of these people, you know, on the news. I just forgive them. Turn it off. Praise God. I forgive them. Praise the Lord. You know, because they're saying all kinds of stuff that you know is not right. I'm saying even just stuff like that. Every day, there's the opportunity to get into unforgiveness. And it's dangerous. It'll wipe out your faith. So always forgive, especially when you come before the Lord and pray. One of the first things he many times will try to bring to our remembrance is something that we might have against somebody or something somebody did to us.
It's the devil bringing it to my remembrance.
Well, if you forgave him and you forgive him and you're not harboring anything, then bring it on. I'll just pray for him. It's not going to torment me. It's not going to bother me. What they said or did, you can bring it to my remembrance all you want, devil. I'll just pray for him. In fact, if you jump down to verse 14, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, there's a testimony of a gentleman who was actually a pastor over in South Africa. And his name was Daniel. And he got into unforgiveness against his wife. I mean, he really was upset at her. She had come to him, asked him to forgive her. No, I'm not forgiving. He was mad at her. And he stormed out of the house one day, pastor. He was ignoring her. This had been going on now for a while. Here he's a pastor, you know, but he's got this resentment towards his wife. Gets in a car. The brakes go out on him. He's going down a hill. He gets into a car wreck. He eventually ends up dying. He dies, and he tells of his experience because he actually got raised from the dead 4 days after he died. And it's actually, you could actually look it up online. It's called the Lazarus Phenomena. And I had heard years back before they actually put the video together, because they actually did a video documentary of it. Before they put the video together, I had heard about somebody being raised from the dead out in South Africa in a Reinhard Bonnke crusade. This wife, she didn't know what to do after her husband died. She went over to that Hebrews chapter 11. She looked up at God. She said, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? She looked down. She looked at Hebrews chapter 11 where it says women receive their dead raised to life again. She looked at that. She believed that. And she, in her heart, then she spoke up. She said, I'm going to take him to the Reinhard Bonnke meeting and raise him from the, Reinhard Bonnke's going to raise him from the dead. So anyway, you can see the whole documentary. But anyway, they took him there. But anyway, he had descended down into hell. An angel of God had taken him down into hell. And the angel told him, said, Daniel, if the book of your life was closed today, this would be your portion. And he said, no, I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. And the angel said, because they were looking into hell and they saw these people that were tormented. And the angel said, Daniel, it's just a matter of reaping what you've sown. You can't sow unforgiveness and reap forgiveness. See, he died in his sins. He went into eternity in sin. No, I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. And then he realized the guilt hit him, and he recognized he was guilty. But thank God he was raised from the dead to tell about it. So he said, was that a true story? I believe it is. I believe it is. It's thoroughly scriptural. That's all I care about. It's totally scriptural. Can a Christian go to hell? Well, let's read that again. If you do not forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many people think that's pretty serious? See, we can't be walking around with unforgiveness and lying and stealing and being crooked on the inside after being born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, made a child of God, and made aware of these promises. We got to protect ourselves. We got to guard our heart. Be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Even Jesus from the cross had to do it. even from the cross. All that happened to him, they're cursing at him. They're spitting at him. They're mocking him. He's in pain. They just tortured him. He's hanging there on this cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Right? Father, forgive them. That was not just for them. That was for his own protection. He forgave. You need to forgive. He later on said to his disciples, he says, the sins that you retained, they are retained. The sins that you forgive will be forgiven, but the sins you retain, they'll be retained. Where? In you. So forgive. Forgive and release people. It's an amazing thing that when you don't forgive and you harbor unforgiveness in your heart concerning something has said or done, you will ultimately repeat it in your life. It'll come out in another form, in another way. You'll end up living the same thing out. And many times won't even recognize it. But you'll live the same sin out. Same thing that happened to you, you'll live the same thing out. Why? Because you retained it, and like a seed, it grew in you and you became it. It became a part of you. So everybody say, Father, forgive us. Does anybody need forgiveness? Every once in a while. If you missed it, thank God you can go to them and say, Lord, forgive me. Whoo, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Praise God forever. Say, I'm quick to forgive. I guard my heart. I'm a worshiper of God. I want to keep his name holy in my life. Walk in his authority. Walk in obedience. Want to do his will, not my will. Want to feed on his word. Do his will. Wage a good warfare. Forgive others. Be merciful. And not hold anything against anybody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord for the truth this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.